Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. On the Arts Beat, Muncie Symphony Orchestra opens its Classics series with a glimpse into the East on Sunday at 4 p.m. in Sursa Performance Hall on campus. The performance includes a pre-concert talk with the guest composer and activities with three Chinese student associations. Details and tickets at MuncieSymphony.org. Well, it's not too surprising, given that our state's name is Land of the Indians, but you can find at least 20 Native American powwows and other Native American events in the state during this month. Among the best known is the Andersontown Powwow, based on the idea that Anderson and Muncie were both once villages of the Lenape Indians, also known as the Delaware. A powwow is a celebration, and for those who get the chance to visit with some of the tribal members, a real education. So it was that we got to visit with Dee Ketchum, former chief of the tribe, and Mike Pace, former assistant chief. We first heard Mike as he introduced himself to a crowd at the powwow's cultural tent.
Anybody here speak Lenape?
A couple hundred years ago, right here in Indiana, actually 1816, because of all the forced removals and those tribes that were actually living here, this was their homeland, the Miami, Potawatomi. As tribes moved this way, you ended up having the Delaware, the Miami, the Potawatomi, the Shawnee, the Wee, the Kaskaskia, the Piankasha, the Huron, the Wyandot, the Ottawa, the Seneca, the Kickapoo, all lived in Indiana at one time. But Indiana becomes a state in 1860, and they all knew they would have to move. Now, the Delaware, we actually call ourselves Lenape. We only got the name Delaware because we happened to live at one time along the Delaware River, which runs through the middle of New Jersey. But our real name, we call ourselves Lenape, which means the people, the original people. But over time, as the country grew, the settlers came, colonists came across. The interaction between those, plus the lack of immunity to diseases, started forcing the tribes back to the west. And so over time, we moved to this area. But the many tribes that were here, one by one, they treated out their lands and moved from here after 1816. So by the mid-1830s, all the tribes that were here in Indiana have moved on. Eventually, we went from here to Missouri, then to Kansas. After the Civil War, we all moved down into Oklahoma, which in those times was called Indian Territory. And so we did have a lot of problems that we met up with the Europeans at first, but there were some groups that we got along very well with. 200 years ago, we landed right here. The towns here in this area, Muncie, Strawtown, Anderson, Delaware villages, we founded the towns. And over time, and we were only here 25 years before we moved again, but we settled these towns here. And when we moved, settlers came in, took what was already built here. And so the towns were already well established by that time. It's just that we were missing, but now they grew into the cities you know today. So that's why we come up and help with the history here, because it's part of our history too.
My name is Dee Ketchum. I was the past chief of the Delaware tribe, and my brother served as the chief of the tribe. Actually, I'm the fifth generation of Ketchums who've been chiefs of the Delaware tribe over the years.
So much culture is transmitted by the stories that people hear. Can you talk about the stories and the traditions that you grew up with?
I grew up in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. The government moved our tribe there.
Your grandmother was an influence in your life.
Yes, she was. See, my mom and dad, my mom particularly, both of her parents died very young. And so consequently, my grandmother took her in. And my grandmother was full-blood Delaware, and big influence on me as well as the family. And since our language is not a written language, Algonquin, but we, so you had to speak it to be able to pass it on. And my mom and dad both went to Chilaco Indian School, and they taught them really not to speak the language. But my grandmother did speak the language, and as I'd mentioned to you earlier, I always knew when I better straighten up and fly right, because she always talked in Delaware, and I thought that, well,
when you were in trouble.
When I was in trouble, yes, that's right. And so consequently, I paid attention to her, what she was having to say. But most of the old-timers, to take what truthfully, didn't talk a lot about their experiences, because back that time, it wasn't really popular to be American Indian, to take quite truthfully. You know, I can remember my dad telling me that he worked for 42 years with one company, which is kind of unheard of today. But he, when he went in to apply for the job, they sent him out and to wash the windows, and they didn't specify what nationality he was. And he said, if I was to write on the application that I was a Indian person, then I probably wouldn't have got the job. So there was some prejudice back then. We've come a long way, really. And when I went to University of Kansas and played basketball there, they asked me specifically if I felt any prejudice in Oklahoma, and I said, not really. I didn't. They made a big deal of when I was at the University of Kansas, they started calling me the Delaware Dandy, and I thought, well, that's kind of unusual. But we've come a long way, to say quite truthfully, since that time.
What kind of things do you suppose you picked up in terms of values and things like that?
I think that they to treat the property and the land as you should, and respect for that. I think that our ancestors were kind of, they had the feeling that you don't own land, you know, so consequently, how could you own Mother Earth, you know? And so that's why it was so easy for them to make deals with the federal government or anyone else, because they felt like that you couldn't own a piece of land, so it was easy for them to negotiate in that way. But I learned a lot of that. We lived down by the river when I was in Bartlesville, and our house was down by the river, so that was really important to me as I was growing up as well. But a lot of my classmates, that's why it wasn't such a big deal to me growing up in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, because a lot of the people in the classroom had some sort of Indian blood, you know, and it wasn't a big deal, you know, from that perspective. But I think that my grandmother and my mom and dad, don't speak until you're spoken to, and be respectful to your elders and that type of thing. And I think those were good things, obviously, and hope that I'd be able to teach my kids and my grandkids the same thing.
D. Ketchum, former chief of the Delaware Indians, and before him, former assistant chief Mike Pace at the Andersontown powwow last weekend. The Delawares have about 10,500 members. Their headquarters is now in Oklahoma, though they are invited back for the powwow to share the tribe's stories and heritage each year.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com.
An Indian powwow is a celebration, as you've heard. There's also an urgent pulse to the proceedings sometimes, a language you may not understand, but a beat that is hard to ignore. To help interpret the experience, we turn to Dr. Jim Brown, a professor emeritus and former associate dean who led the School of Journalism at IUPUI for 28 years until he retired in 2010. He's written a book on the Lenape.
I'm Jim Brown, and I photograph the powwow for their publicity pictures. I've been doing that for every year except one. When my granddaughter was christened, I missed a powwow.
How are the Delaware different from the Miami and the other Indians who were in this area?
Well, you know, in a sense, a Native American might say, well, the French are different than the German, they're different than the Italians, even though they live in the same general area. And to some extent, that's true. What they did have in common is they were woodland tribes. So they had common habits of dress and living habits, the living where they slept, those things were all in common of woodland tribes, as opposed to the western tribes, which had teepees and so on. So the Delaware, though, were known by other tribes as the grandfather tribe. They were, in many cases, peacemakers. But, you know, they would solve disputes. And part of it was because the Delawares were decimated by diseases brought by the Europeans to a fraction of their original size. And if you don't have the might by numbers, you learn to negotiate. And so they were very good negotiators, and other tribes think of them as the grandfather tribe.
You've written a book on this subject.
Yes, I have. It's Long Journey Home, Oral Histories of Contemporary Delaware Indians, published by IU Press. Rita Kahn and I did the book. We did a number of oral histories over probably a decade, and I made something like 90 photographs that are in the book, really trying to preserve in book form the Delaware stories. And we did this a little bit differently than typical book authors in that once we transcribed the interviews, we sent the transcriptions to the Delawares and said, essentially, is this what you meant to say? We didn't want the book to be our Anglo interpretation of Delaware culture. We wanted it to be their stories. We were merely, in a sense, putting it on paper for them. And that process works really well, and especially for this kind of book.
Are there stories that stick with you as you think about the traditions of these folks?
One thing that people may not know is that Chief Anderson, one of his daughters, was named McKingis. She went by one word, McKingis. And William Connor married McKingis. And that's the William Connor of the Connor Prairie Recreation, Historic Recreation Village. And then when the Delawares were pushed on westward to Missouri, Connor said goodbye to that wife and four children and married a white woman and stayed in his prosperous settlement. So that's a kind of a negative part of Indiana history that I don't much like. But anyway, that's why the Delawares that are associated with this powwow, Mike Pace and D. Ketchum and Annette Ketchum, they're all descendants of Anderson. And actually, Rita Kahn and I got the name for our book, Long Journey Home, because these Delawares do come back to Indiana regularly, to Connor Prairie, to Andersontown Powwow, and give cultural preservation talks. At Connor Prairie, they talk with fourth graders. There are thousands of fourth graders across the state that go to Connor Prairie every fall to learn about dress, stories, songs, everything involved with the culture.
Are there aspects of Indian culture that have lessons for people today, do you think?
You know, Indian culture really was at one with the land and the animals that inhabited the land. For example, when they hunted and killed an animal for food and hides, they tried to use everything they could. They didn't have recycling in those days. The trucks didn't come by the camp, but they did try to use everything, and they honored the earth. And I think we could learn a lot from that philosophy because we're in a disposable society.
I think a lot of folks view Native American culture as having a mystical side that we only get a glimpse of at events like this.
I suppose the mystical side would be reverence of ancestors, talking about feeling the beat of the drum as their ancestors did and so forth. And Anglos think of their lost ones too occasionally, but I think the Indian culture thinks about ancestors much more than Anglo culture does, and revere their ancestors and honor the customs. Though customs do change, clothing changes. For example, at a Delaware Palawal in Oklahoma, one of the fancy dancers had a feather bustle, and the center of the feather bustle glistened in the sun and changed colors in the sun, and I was intrigued with what that was. And I went up close to look at it, and it was a compact disc. And so they adapt. You know, when they see things they like, they will adapt it to the clothing. Now, that's with the fancy clothing. The traditional clothing, they don't do that.
Dr. Jim Brown, former dean of the School of Journalism at Indiana University, Purdue University at Indianapolis, and author of Long Journey Home, a collection of oral histories of the Lenape people, the Delawares.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
The Andersontown Powwow has turned into an annual festival of Indian culture, specifically honoring the Delaware or Lenape people. We got to speak with former Delaware tribal chief Dee Ketchum.
How about the importance of the Andersontown Powwow? What does this mean to you, and what should it mean to those of us who aren't of Native American heritage?
All of this revolves around Chief Anderson, because some of the individuals, my wife and Mike Pace, and that were relatives, distant relatives of Chief Anderson. And so what you see in the dances and the ceremonies that here, it's a celebration for us. We've always felt, when we've come up here, very much at home.
There's a reason this is in Anderson.
Well, you know, our people came through here and camped here and stayed here in Anderson for a number of years. And Chief Anderson, one of our chiefs, the town is named after Chief Anderson. It's a very special place for us to come. We felt that when we've come back here.
Do you think that the country and non-Native American folks, are they more interested in Native American? Certainly there's a different attitude than when you were a child, right?
I think so. I think that, we went through a period here lately that it was important that everybody wanted to be an Indian, you know, and had traced their ancestries back, and it still is that way. There was a period of time when it wasn't too popular to be American Indian, and I always refer to when they say, are you Native American? And I said, well, yeah, I'm Native American, but aren't we all Native Americans? You know, now, if you talk about Indians, yes. And more specifically, we're Delaware. And like Mike was saying earlier, we're Lenape. You know, and they say Lenni Lenape, that's Delaware, Delaware, really. Our people are people. We were referred to as the common people, but that's kind of when you say Lenni Lenape, you're repeating the word over again.
So, you know, people want to say the right thing. They want to honor groups. Do you have any thoughts about the NFL team in Washington?
Well, you know, I've been asked that question a lot, and quite truthfully, in my opinion, that's their right. I don't have a problem with that. I know that there's some...
Is that name offensive to you?
Name is not offensive to me, and it wasn't an offense to a lot of the people in tribes in Oklahoma, to tell you quite truthfully. And as a matter of fact, I had a T-shirt that had the Redskins on it, you know, that I used to wear, and I still do wear it around. That's not offensive to me, and I think they have full right to do that. When is something not right? I mean, to me,
my thought that they're honoring.
Yeah, to me, I think they were honored. We have a school in Tulsa, Oklahoma, called the Union Redskins. And so my brother, when he was chief, he called me. He was on the board of directors, and they were trying to get rid of that name. And he said, that doesn't bother me. I said, well, that doesn't bother me either. And so when this all came up again here lately about the Washington Redskins, and I said, well, it still doesn't bother me, you know. I think they have the right to do it. And I think a lot of Indian people don't have a problem with that. There's some that do, but to me it was they took that name out of respect. You talk about Florida State, they still have the Seminoles and They have the arrow and they ride the horses and none of that's offensive to me.
Is there anything that I didn't ask you that I should have?
Well, the only thing that I would say that we really are, like most tribes, are really fighting to keep our culture alive. You know, and we start singing those old songs some 30 years ago or more. And it is important. We're still singing those old songs around our water drum, our social dances and stomp dancing and that type of thing. And culturally, from the culture perspective, all that is very important as a tribe's culture. As this powwow is that it's showcasing some of our dancers. And the arena, when they come in that arena, it's a celebration, you know? It's a celebration for our people to get together and dance.
You're concerned about the next generation.
Yeah.
Are young people embracing the culture the way you'd like to see?
Well, not totally, you know. One of the problems, as I can see it, is that I coached for a number of years and I moved wherever the coaching position was, and I never did live in the nation. And there in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. So 30 years ago or more, 40 years now, I moved back to the nation where our headquarters are and really got acquainted with our culture, and more so than I was growing up, because our Leonard Thompson, my relative, was our last ceremonial chief, and he taught many things about that are not written in books. So it's important for me to pass that on. I have three grandsons, to pass that knowledge on to them, because as I'd mentioned earlier, our language is not a written language. And so it's my responsibility to pass that on. The question is of whether the young ones are as interested as maybe I was. Probably so. The problem is that we live in such a diverse environment. My grandkids are down in South Texas and out in California, for them to come back and learn. I think the only way you learn it is be in the nation, you know, and you have hands-on every day. You learn the language, you learn the songs, you learn the culture and so forth. So it was important to me to move back and pick up where I left off as a youth.
D. Ketchum of Oklahoma, former tribal chief of the Delaware Indians. He played basketball for the University of Kansas and went on to get a master's in counseling and to be a high school and college basketball coach. What do you think about the folks we met today? Drop me a note if you get a minute. That's our show, by the way. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture of Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flexsteel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.